Hi, Sam.
Hi, I made it.
Yeah, good
Well,
job. You're the
this
first one.
technology, I'm patting myself on the back
Yeah,
that
you're the first person. I don't know why you didn't get the reminder email. Did you have trouble finding yours?
No, it's alphabetical. I didn't have any problem. And it looks like we've got Keith and Reagan.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm here without video.
Hi, Terry.
Yeah.
Can hear you, Terry.
I'm just audio.
This dumb little thing. I have looked all over trying to buy, and I have a really good Dell monitor, but I've looked for a monitor that has a camera. And I've gone on Amazon and looked at all the places, and they don't seem to, laptops, my laptop at the office has a camera, of course.
Hi everyone, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear. I don't know why I'm not showing up here, but
Keith, you're sharing your screen with us.
I'm
It's
looking
at the
where
bottom,
what
there's like a little green button. I think if you accidentally hit that, it says share screen.
just a minute. I've kind of lost something here. Let's see.
Okay.
It's like you're down to just like a stripe of pictures. I've got like this white field with stuff on it. Let's see. I must have clicked on something that I shouldn't have.
Is it a calendar? Or?
Yeah, there's a calendar and all that.
Yeah, I have that too, and everybody else is on my right side.
Yeah. Should I just?
I have it too.
I
And
think.
only I'm only seeing Dale on the right side.
Okay, new share. Let's see. Yeah,
So, Keith, go to the bottom of your computer where that says, do you see there's like mute, stop video, and there's a black bar with a bunch of stuff on the bottom?
yeah.
And it says share screen. Try, I think you need to hit that.
You want it to, do you want it green?
No, he's sharing his screen right now, and we don't want to see that.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. You are sharing screen. Let's see. Should I just stop share?
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
But still, I'm not showing up in the picture.
Do you have on the on that black same bar at the bottom over on the left, does it say there's a mute and a stop video. Do you have
There's a mute, stop video.
If you click on stop video, is there a red bar through it?
Yeah.
So click on it to make it work. Still
Click
not
on
working.
it. Just, oh,
There
you
we
know
go.
what? There we go. Okay.
There you go. We can see you.
Yeah.
Great, cool.
Thank you for your patience.
Keith, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling much better than I did when I was sick.
That's a good sign.
Yeah. No, it's tough. I have to admit that I have short patience with people that aren't vaccinated.
Me too. Me too.
It's
No pay.
kind of I feel like it's just irresponsible, and luckily I was vaccinated. And I'm here to enjoy this meeting. Otherwise, I could be gone.
There you go. I am.
So,
Welcome back.
thank you.
Do we have any other participants that we're planning on?
I was just going to ask Regan. I thought the architects for the 101 A Street project were going to present, and I'm not seeing on them on the attendees list. Did you hear from anybody, Regan?
I have not heard from anyone
In a Zoom meeting.
Okay. There's two people's names who I don't recognize, so I don't know if
Hi.
that's them.
So we have a quorum, correct?
Hey, there you are.
Yeah, we do. Okay.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Are we going to have your photo or not?
No, just audio. Okay. Long story.
Okay.
Well, good that you're here.
Yeah, that's the important part.
Yeah.
So, I'm hoping that they show up when you get to that item.
Is Bill going to be here?
Bill.
Emery, yeah, he's supposed to. He emailed me today.
Okay.
I just spoke to him a little while ago, and he was trying. We were waiting for the reminder of the invitation, and because I had gone back and looked and I couldn't find it, and then I found it again, way on the 31st. So he might be looking for that.
I'll give him a quick call if he answers.
Dale, is that your legal library behind you?
Yes.
Oh, I was going to say, you have really upgraded your background.
Man.
Hasn't he?
It's pretty sharp.
Bill?
You could be a TV commentator.
You might be on. You might be on this. Have you found the site yet?
No, I haven't got a link.
On the 31st, the link was along with a second email from Regan, I think.
Well, I found it under Ashland Community blah blah.
Yeah. Development, yeah.
Yeah, it starts out with Ashland Community Development or something.
It's from Ashland Community Development.
On the 31st.
Oh, wait, here it is. It doesn't have a link, though. It has the agenda. It doesn't have a link.
It says click here to join. So it's Ashland Community Development Panelists for Historic Commission Meeting is the title.
Electronic HC meeting on Wednesday 9/8/2021.
Well, that so there's two emails there on the 31st. The top one has the link. Okay, I just forwarded it to you. It says you're invited to a Zoom webinar after your name. The email hasn't come in yet. So do you have two emails on the 31st?
No, I only have one email on the 31st. And if you forward it, it hasn't come in yet.
Okay. Can you hear, can somebody else talk and see if Bill could hear that?
Sure. Bill, are you there?
Hello, Bill.
Can you hear that, Bill?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we could maybe go ahead and start and see if that comes, and you could at least listen in.
Okay. Here, I just went to my Ashland HomeNet account, and I'm showing
Okay, I've got the link now.
Okay, good.
It'll take a minute to get set up to join here.
Okay. I'll keep you on the phone. Can you hear? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Okay. All right, so ready to go? Okay, at this point, I'll call the meeting to order. Approval of minutes for May 5th, 2021. That was a while ago.
Yes.
Yes.
I move that they be adopted.
Okay.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye.
Opposed? I wasn't present at that meeting.
Okay. So next on the agenda is public forum. Probably don't have anybody for that, Maria. I'm not hearing your voice, Maria.
We do have two attendees.
Okay.
I didn't receive any speaker requests.
Okay.
Did you, Regan?
Maria, they sent a chat. They're saying that they're from Architect. So they're okay. They're for here for 101A Street.
Oh, great. Okay. So no, we don't have anyone for public forum.
Okay. All right, we'll move on to the next agenda item, which is Council Liaison Report. Councillor Morin.
Hey, everyone. It definitely has been a while.
Yeah.
Hope everything is great with everyone and you're surviving the smoke. Listen, the big pending issue that's coming up that everyone should be aware of is on next City Council meeting. We have set up an ad hoc committee to look at opening Pioneer Hall in the community center. Dale's been over there and I think he's consulted with George Kramer, a historical preservationist, and they've, you know, what we've essentially tried to do is figure out a way to economically reinforce the buildings, make sure that they're safe, but also open them so people of Ashland can use these buildings. So it's been going on for a couple months. I have worked closely with Councilor Steffi Steffinger to move the conversation away from the standard procedure the city's used, which is high-priced consultants to try to get some of this stuff done, to look at it a more kind of cost-efficient economical delivery of that same idea. So we set up this ad hoc committee. We've had a couple meetings. We've delved into the safety issues. The ad hoc committee was set up with Steffi, myself, George Kramer, Gil Levney, and Chris Brown from Architect. And have kind of, you know, checked out safety issues, some of the safety issues. Actually, there was some cats over there as well, by the way, Beverly, so yes. You'd be happy. I'm not a cat guy, I'm a dog guy. So anyway,
sorry about that.
Sorry, I got distracted. But the coup de grace is that next city council meeting, Mr. Kramer will be giving a presentation to council on, you know, what we've come up with, and most importantly, being able to open the buildings for the citizens of Ashland at a much reduced cost. So really happy about it. I'm confident that the council unanimously approve it and we'll figure out a way to move forward. Councilor Jensen at the last, big conversation we had kind of said that hopefully this will be a new step forward for the city and how we look at some you know, utilizing the skill set and the talent of a lot of, you know, volunteers with our community and a lot of people like yourselves who step up and commit their time and energies to try to move Ashland forward. So hopefully, you know, we're at a place where we can deliver that result, you know, at a cost that we all can look back and say, hey, I'm glad we did that. So that's kind of where it is. I'm just happy to be a part of that ad hoc committee, and we'll be ecstatic, you know, once we get the results and the approval of the council to move forward and fix those buildings so people can use them. So,
John, I have a question. Who was the engineer that you consulted?
The engineer, I believe, was someone that Gil and Chris, I don't have his name.
Okay.
You know, if we were talking about steelhead fishing, I said to George right out of the gate, I mean, just ask me any question, I'll be able to answer. But, you know, the slope of this and then, you know, so I don't know. But it was all vetted. You know, if you sent an email to George or Gil, they would, or Chris, I mean, they'd be able to come back to you with it. But
And when's the next council meeting that will be talked about?
The 21st, Tuesday, the 21st. So okay. That's when the presentation is scheduled to, Dale, if you want to make a cameo, you're more than welcome.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So, cheers.
Thanks for your report.
Could I ask a question? Do you have a timeline for this ad hoc committee?
That's, the ad hoc committee by definition is just tasked with a certain event. And so that will be it. So I think the ad hoc committee will make its presentation to, you know, the report, then
on the 21st.
Yes. The report will be delivered to the council. And then expanded.
And then you begin the work already.
Yeah. And then the process will begin. And again, you know, talking to Kaylee from, you know, the city, who's been kind of the liaison person from Public Works. She's been fabulous. Kind of said, you know, we're looking probably out a year. Completion. You know, most of the work is to be done on the community center. So that's where the gist of the heavy lift will be, if you will. But I would expect, you know, 9 months to a year as far as what we're looking at before we, you know, where we have the tape
cut. Well, I think it's
tape cut ceremony, I guess.
I think it's a great start.
Hear, hear.
Good. Okay. Thank you, Sean.
Yeah, I have a quick question for Maria.
Yeah.
Bill's on the screen. Bill is showing up as Dale Shostrom. Is that a problem?
Well, I think he can change it. Bill, if you click in that box, I think you can type in it and change it. Does that work?
I'll see what I can do.
We'll work on it, Terry.
Okay.
So next on the agenda is 101 8th Street, a remodel and addition for the Plexus building, a pre-application. So at this time, would you want to invite the applicant?
I was going to
staff report.
A quick little background on this. As you know, this was on the agenda last month, but the commission didn't have a quorum, so there wasn't a meeting. The applicants for the pre-application requested to wait and come back. So that was their choice. They're not obligated to do that. This is a pre-application. It's not a formal application. This is the first step in the code. By code, you're required to do this, but they will have to come back and make a formal application, which will come before you for your formal recommendation. So this is more of a running that initial concept by you. And again, they've chosen to bring it before you and see if you have any comments at this point. Just to refresh everybody's memory real quick, I think everyone knows where it is, but just in case there's someone watching. Everybody see that?
Yeah.
Yep. So this is the building we're talking about. This is Oak Street and A Street. Just to give you some other frames of reference, this is the Ashland Lumber Building. Can you see my pointer okay?
Yep.
Yeah. This is Ashland Food Co-op, Ashland Hardware. So kind of in that little commercial core around the intersection of, close to the intersection of A and Oak. In the historic district nomination, it actually considers, I think it's from about here on, but it might be further to the west, what was the old Ashland Produce Association building is considered historic contributing, but the end where the work is proposed was identified as not contributing. So that's kind of interesting. I don't know that I've seen that before, where on the nomination a building is divided into different segments that way. And then finally, I just wanted to give you a quick history of the planning applications. In 1999 was when that initial site design review planning approval was granted to take what was then Oak Tank and Steel and convert it to A Street Marketplace. And as some of you will remember, that was a mix of retail and commercial area. But this end of the building was an outdoor pavilion. Before, I think when it was Oak Tank and Steel, I think they did work kind of outside there. And when it turned to A Street Marketplace, it wasn't a heated space. It was just kind of an outdoor area where they had proposed to do like outdoor markets. But then they came back in 2002 and they applied to make it a nightclub, but that was denied. And then later in 2002, it was approved to be enclosed. So the pavilion area was enclosed. And then finally in 2003, it was approved as a outdoor theater space. So I believe, I haven't been in there myself, but some of you I think have. It's when you go into it, it's a fairly tall, open, big space currently. So that's just a little rundown on kind of how it's progressed over the past 20 years. And I have the materials in your packet if you want to see them, but I think I'll bring in the architects and see. I think they'll probably want to run through that part of the actual pre-application.
Okay. Are there any,
unless you have any questions? What's that?
I was just asking, yeah, if there are any questions of staff. Okay, bring them on.
So let's see here. I have two speakers. I'm not sure who is who.
Hello, this is Ian and Paul from Architects.
So is there a person, Darcy, who's on your team?
Darcy is a representative of Blue Marble, our client.
Oh, okay, so should I call you all in?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can't see you, but we can hear you.
Are we able to screen share, or do we need a separate link to do that?
No, I think you should be able to share your screen. I mean, you're a panelist right now, just like us.
We don't see the button to share.
Yeah, it doesn't look like we have access.
Would it be possible if one of you could share our PDF?
It does say you should be able to share on my settings. Did that do anything?
Nope.
Is it down on the bottom? Where it says leave between chat and raise hand, do you see all of those icons down at the bottom if you put your cursor over it?
Yeah, it looks like we're not sort of participating in this. We're sort of observants, so we don't have all the functions.
Hmm.
Is there a way to resend a link to us?
For the here's one more thing.
Yep. Here it is.
There we go.
Yep.
That worked?
Okay, yeah, so now we can see the share button and we'll throw our PDF up.
We still can't see you guys.
There you go, great.
Can you see our screen?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. So just a brief introduction to the project. This will be the future home of Blue Marble. Blue Marble is a local business that produces toys for National Geographic. They're educational toys. And they're looking at using this space as their main office and headquarters. On this graphic, we can kind of see the proposed changes that we're looking at doing on the metal portion of the of the building, the Oak Street Tank and Steel portion. Most of the changes, or the obviously the big changes that you're seeing, are the new glass roof deck on top, and the new exterior stair adjacent to the parking lot. Those are, in addition to those, we're also looking at introducing new windows on the exterior, both on the ground floor and then what would be the new second floor on the interior.
So currently the building is single story?
Currently it's a single story.
In on the west end in the by Oak Street, there is mezzanine levels, and our design proposes sort of expanding those levels. And obviously in the metal building on the west end, we're going to be adding a whole new level and then proposing to add that third level, which would be the roof deck area.
Mm-hmm. And I think what might be confusing is this is an old, our the scope of our work is expanded somewhat since this submittal. So we are looking at adding or doing renovations in the fruit packing section of the building, the A Street Market section, expanding the footprint of that, or not the footprint, adding the second story in there in place of the mezzanines. But I think we should probably focus on the metal building, since those are really the brunt of the exterior renovations that are happening.
A question on the other building, that's an interior remodel?
Correct. Yeah. We aren't proposing any exterior changes to that portion of the building.
Yeah. Okay.
Great. All the awnings, windows, those are going to stay as they are.
Great.
As we can see on our site plan, we have very minimal site work proposed. We are looking at expanding the traction closure in the east side of the building, and adding a access gate to the parking lot, because as it stands right now, Ace Hardware and the food cooperative customers and employees are using that parking lot. So we would like to reserve that space for Blue Marble and their employees. Based on the use of the building, we are looking at some on-street parking credits. That's kind of another issue, but any other questions on site work? Okay. Just to give you some more background on the use of the space.
So we sort of briefly talked about it already, but we're proposing that in the metal building, it's going to be used for business. And with the amount of growth that Blue Marble is expecting, we're going to be adding another level to that space. There's plenty of height in there for that second level. And we propose that glass third level. And that will also be a sort of business expansion. And so that's where we're at right now with this project. These graphics are sort of a little outdated as these were presented about a month ago. We're really sort of excited to bring Blue Marble into this space, and we're in terms of where we're going with the design, we're trying to introduce biophilic design, which is basically bringing nature into the space, using a lot of wood products. But in terms of the exterior, we are trying to work within the sort of the given aesthetics of this metal building. So using a lot of glass and steel, working within the color palettes. And our client does not want to do many more changes beyond what we've shown in our original, in our first page graphic. In terms of how the design is looking now, we will be proposing new changes, but they are sort of just an extension of what we have already proposed in this document. Other than that, I mean, Blue Marble has a really promising future, and we're really excited to turn this building into their future home.
So is it Ian that's speaking?
This is Paul. Ian was speaking in that site plan page.
Okay. So just when you referred to the minor changes that are proposed that aren't what we're looking at, what are they, would they be depicted in that materials and exterior elevation?
In the next page? Is that what you're
talking about? Well, the full elevation is what I'm looking at in our packet.
Next page.
Are you looking at this?
Yeah, this slide.
Are there any significant changes that would show here that you were talking about in terms of the updates that you've made?
The most significant thing would probably be that exterior stair needing to come all the way up to the deck for egress purposes. And then the sort of characteristics of that roof deck, we're sticking to the basic idea of this, but the actual use up there and the spaces within that may be changing. And we may be proposing a fully enclosed or a fully covered space instead of having open space that is not covered up there. But in terms of the sort of basics of this design proposal, they're going to be staying fairly similar to what we're showing here.
So the volumes are similar, but there might be a roof over where the railing system is?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And as far as materials and windows, I think the placement of those windows hasn't shifted from what we're seeing right now, as far as the new windows that we've proposed. Mm-hmm. So just kind of getting back to our original design concept and what was driving our design. Really, we wanted to bring light into that, in that the metal portion of that building, and we wanted that light to filter down through all of those stairs. So that's kind of what inspired that glass concept and what influenced our design on that aspect.
I'm liking what I'm seeing on the plans. They were separate buildings, so I think it looks great.
I think that was one aspect that we kind of wanted to emphasize is this is a historic building and we want to respect that. And if we're doing any changes or additions to it, it'd be nice for them to be distinct so that you can identify the era that it came from, identify the time that it was built. So this is definitely, it definitely sits alone within the character of those buildings.
Yeah, and all the sections were built at different times.
Yeah, it's already a segmented building with really three distinct forms that are all unique and are from different eras.
Yeah, that's correct.
And as we've talked about before, this section of the building, it was an open marketplace, and then it was enclosed. I believe it was like a gym and possibly a theater at one point. And then when Plexus came in, it was turned into an office space. And now we want to continue to evolve that into a new office space, new renovated office. Are there any questions on this elevation? I think as we're continuing this process, we really wanted this to be an open dialogue as far as what the Historic Commission's thoughts are on the overall design, the look, and how it fits within the community and the other surrounding buildings. So we would like this to be a dialogue, you know, because we're open to adapting our design as it moves forward.
So I have a question. This is Dale Shostrom. Regarding materials, the existing upper facade is corrugated sheet metal, I guess, galvanized, and the roof is also that same material. Are you proposing a roof material change?
No, we would be continuing matching that existing with the new roof.
So it'd be galvanized, corrugated.
Yeah, correct.
And then on the solarium part of the building, the storefront, is that aluminum mill finish or anodized or a color?
That hasn't been quite determined yet. I think in terms of where we're going with it is just matching the aesthetic of the building. So probably looking at a black painted aluminum.
So black or an anodized versus mill finish, which would be somewhat compatible with a galvanized roof.
Well, I don't think we want to say exactly what we're going to use right now.
Okay. But
the feedback is sounding like you would want us to see the material sort of work with that existing roof material.
Yeah, I guess I'm not sure how it would feel, you know, in terms of would it be more, you know, the glazing is the biggest part. And, you know, again, I don't know what that might look like, too. I assume it'll be pretty solar, have a lot of solar protection in a way. But yeah, I don't have a feeling really whether anodized or mill bright aluminum might make it look lower key. I think that would be the goal because of the, you know, increased volume. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in my mind.
Yeah, I think an early on idea was making this whole volume sort of transparent and not becoming a sort of something to draw eyes to necessarily. It's sort of an addition that wants to work with the existing building and not sort of become an attraction in itself, because obviously the views surrounding are what everyone around wants access to. And that's exactly why our client wants to be up on the roof, is to enjoy those like gorgeous Ashland views. So I think the transparency is a key factor in this addition. Mm-hmm. But I think you're right in saying like this might not be the crystal clear glass. It probably does need to be somewhat restricting the sunlight, so it's not so hot and it's comfortable up there.
Right. And just as another comment, I do like that it is set back from the facade of the lower two stories and set in and from both ends. I think the cascading volumes is a nice feature of it. That's all I have. Did we lose somebody?
Sorry, can you hear us?
Yeah.
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 Sorry about that. Good. Okay.
So I think heights, the building height, this is Ian again. The building height and how it compares to the surrounding area, I think is going to be kind of important. And we wanted to give that some consideration. So we took some LiDAR imaging data to compare the existing Oak Street building heights and the clock tower height to the surrounding area. So we can see, if we look at the third image on the right, the atrium roof, that's the height of the proposed atrium roof. You can see that that's comparable to the Ashland Armory roof, the peak of the Umpqua bank, and the tower on the Ashland Food Cooperative. So we're looking at a height above finished grade of 37 feet, or the midpoint of the roof, of the proposed atrium roof. Do you have any questions on how we're calculating heights, or what your thoughts are on how that height relates to the other buildings in the area?
Yes. So this is Bill Emery, and I have a question. It looks like you're using the proposed building as the reference elevation. And for example, the Armory and the Umpqua Bank are upslope from the Oak Street Tank and Steel Building, so that in a way it seems a little deceptive, or I would it's not height above what I'm seeing is it's not height above finished grade, but height above reference elevation is the proposed building height.
Yeah, those are definitely, Oak Street is definitely on a slope. I think what we were just trying to give reference to the area, and so our images are actual elevation above sea level.
Yeah.
And there aren't.
Not compensated for grade.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our intent was really just to give context to the surrounding area on the heights.
Okay.
So, Bill, I think that raises a question in my mind also. I went down to the co-op and rounded the corner at the co-op, and that's when you really first see this building. To your right is the hardware store, and then the open parking lot, and to your left is a single-story wood building, and then that block building that's two-story. And they're about the same mass as the existing two-story portion that they were talking about adding the addition to. And just sweeping my eyes across it, it will definitely be the highest thing down there. And as you said, Bill, we don't really have a reference to the bank, the bank building or the co-op really as you come down A Street, and that's the most prominent location. As I said earlier, I think that what's helping it is that it's stepped back 10 feet from the facade of the existing two-story, and it's I think it's about 10 feet out of the from the floor level on up. So it definitely is going to be a prominent third level in that area, but it might be mitigated, you know, both by material and the fact that it's set back both on the ends and the front.
So the entry portion is somewhat high too. A lot of irregular heights to that complex. So it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, that helps mitigate a little bit, sure.
Dale, this is Paul. I was going to ask, would it be nice to see some of those prominent views in our formal application? We could perhaps do some renderings or just some simple massings to show those views.
Yeah, I think that would be great in terms of, you know, again, kind of coming around the hardware stores when you first see it coming down, heading west on A Street or at the corner of First and A. And so that's where it really, you know, has impact. And then as you move toward it, you know, closer to the bend, it kind of starts going away, I suppose, as you get real close to the building because it is set back. But yeah, I think a couple of ground level human views would be great in terms of really telling us what that would feel like.
And just walking by or driving by, what I notice is that you really don't see that part of the building that much. It's not what draws my eye. And so I don't have a problem with going to the proposed height. I think it's going to work fine. You know, it's higher than the surrounding buildings, but it's set back in a way that it's not so noticeable from any given prominent viewpoint anyway.
Plus, it's a commercial building, which I think there can be a little bit different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the overall section is smaller, it's set back, like you said. You know, if it were as wide as the middle building, it would really be sticking out. So I feel comfortable with it.
Well, I think that something that we should pat them on the back for is they're really preserving the original structure in keeping it very original. And I think that, you know, we're living in the 21st century, and that they're preserving the original structure much the way it's been for many years is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the thing that I like about it is that it goes along with the state standards, which encourages the designer to make the addition distinctly different from the original building, compatible, but distinctly different.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It's distinctly different, but it's also historically compatible with the neighborhood, I think, you know, with the industrial feel that's down there. And mm-hmm. I think that it's, you know, it's transparent. You're not going to see it as much. And since it's stepped back, it's definitely going to kind of fade away. And the only time you'll probably see it is when there's a party at the top on Friday night.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of mimics the cupolas that we're seeing on a lot of industrial buildings to bring light into the interior.
Yeah, it's well done.
Thank you. Appreciate that feedback. It's definitely nice hearing the things that we're aiming for are getting seen. So that's great.
And the presentation is good too. So you did a nice job.
I appreciate having good graphics to work from as well. Like, we can clearly see what you're doing.
Yeah, and the rhythm of windows is a nice addition, I think, too, breaking up the pretty plain facade. So also kind of bringing the glass that's on top down more and integrating it into the existing building. So good job.
Well, thank you. Is there any other slides we want to bring up and chat about? We covered most of the important aspects.
Any more questions of commissioners?
I have no questions, but I've got the comment. Having been in that part of the building several years ago with Plexus, I think that this is a much better use of that space. It seemed like it was poorly constructed at that point when I was looking at it to see about some improvements with Plexus, and it was just underutilized. It just, you know, a huge space that was pretty much wasted. So this is such a step forward in utilizing, you know, valuable space in our city.
Yeah, I think a lot of our intent is to kind of streamline that interior space and make it more efficient and make it a really usable space for Blue Marble.
Good job.
Thank you.
Well, I think that's all we have on our end.
Well, thank you, Paul and Ian. Nice presentation, nice graphics, really easy to see and understand. So move forward from our point of view.
All right.
Sounds great. We're looking forward to it.
Great.
So we can stop screen sharing.
Oh. Looking around for it. All right. Here we are.
So are we back as one?
Almost.
Okay.
This takes a second. There we go. To go through. There you go.
Great. Well, we heard a lot of great comments and a lot of positive thoughts. So I think it's pretty clear the direction they're going, and so we're happy with it. Any other comments? Okay. Moving on. Next on the agenda is election of officers. I think last time in our packet we had some ordinances that were included talking about the requirements. Maybe Maria, you could tell us what those are again, just to remind us.
Sure. So the city code says you have to do election of officers a meeting after the annual commission appointments and reappointments. And this year that was on May 4th and 18th, And then we haven't had any meetings since then. So mm-hmm. this is the first meeting after the May reopen.
Boy.
Yeah. yeah. So we're supposed to do this every year. So that's why it's on your agenda. And it does say that no person can serve more than three consecutive terms as an officer. And I can call up that section of the code on the screen if you want to see it. So technically speaking, I think Dale has been chair since 2017. And Terry, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, has been vice since 2016. Or maybe you kind of switch back and forth some, I think.
Right.
But now the code says, you know, max of 3 years as any officer. So this point, you need to, as a commission, go through that exercise of electing new officers.
So we need a chair and a vice chair?
What's the length of the term?
We're supposed to do it annually. Have election of officers every year. So at this point, this, you know, the reappointments and appointments at council is usually April, May. So then it usually falls in about May or June that you would go through this every year. So whoever serves as chair and vice chair now will have a little bit shorter term just because we haven't had as many meetings this year.
So, so that's the lifetime tour, meaning
a lifetime tour.
Lifetime.
It's the Supreme Court.
To explain is
like you're a rock man.
A one time only, you know, because I've been on since '89. So is after a certain period, can you get reelected to an officer, or is that a lifetime that's you're out?
You know, that's a good question, but I think it says three consecutive terms as an officer. So okay. My sense is that you could sit out as an officer for 3 years and then be back eligible for being an officer again.
Okay, that's what I was trying to explain.
So just to be clear about that, we sit out 3 years, or after Terry and I have served 3 years, if we sat out a year, then we would not have consecutive terms if the choice was to reelect us.
Let me call the code up. I
kind of remember.
I mean, I could put that question out there and look into it more. I'm not sure. I know the answer.
If you had three terms and that ended your consecutive, then with new officers the next year, it seems like.
Can you see the code on your screen?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it says, neither the chair nor vice chair shall serve as an officer for more than three consecutive annual terms. Yeah, I mean, it does seem like there is some, that seems like one way you could read that.
Right. So in a year, we could repeat and have three consecutive terms.
Seems like that's right, Terry, yeah.
Okay.
Would you agree, Maria?
Yeah, I mean, I probably, you know, if I can, I probably would want to run it by somebody else on staff just to make sure there isn't something I'm missing.
Okay.
You know, but.
Hey, this seems like a terrible time to have an election, and, you know, we're short on members as well. And just seems to be better to kick the can down the road for a while.
Well, why would that make a difference? If we had more members, you mean, or what?
Well, I think we have trouble just getting a quorum right now, but that's a different story. But I think it would be important to bring in new blood with different backgrounds and so on that and maybe well, for me, I know that I don't want to take on the responsibility of being chair or vice chair right now, and I think that might be true for others. I don't know.
Actually, it is true for me too, because I'm having a hard time just keeping up work after, especially after having been ill. So, I mean, I hate to say it, but I'm just kind of, you know, trying to make it through on a daily basis right now. So that's so kind of
how long opinion. Could this be delayed? You know, kicking the can down the road.
Well, what's the point of kicking it down the road?
Well, someone has to step up to do it, don't they?
Well, we haven't found out that isn't possible.
I wonder about, I mean, do we need two more members? Is that right?
Yes. Well, could Terry be?
No, it says as an officer.
Okay. So we're both out according to the ordinance. Okay. So I guess I'm wondering about, would anybody be willing to do it? Beverly or Piper, we've heard from two. Or Sam, in terms of the workload, I'm not sure that it's that much work. Depends on how much we volunteer to take on beyond what we're doing in terms of these meetings. These meetings, are not that big a deal other than following the agenda. We'll still have all our own voices, you know, regarding each project.
In way of looking at it, for a year, we'll be looking at this again. So.
Say that again.
I didn't hear.
It's every year that we reelect. So we'll be viewing this again in a year.
Well, we're going to be reviewing it again in May. So it's really about a 9-month term.
Yeah.
Or 8-month term. And two of the meetings will probably be canceled for one reason or another. So it probably is six meetings.
Yeah. Well, as one of the non-trades people on the commission without a connection to building architecture or landscaping, I think it would, I just wonder whether it would be a good time to talk about the different ways the commission could operate apart from just approving projects in the planning process, such as advocacy and, promoting public awareness of history beyond the awards and that kind of thing. I just feel disconnected from what's going on nationally, certainly, but even what's going on in the state in historic preservation. So, and it's hard to do that again in COVID to stay up, but there's, I think, Dale, you had suggested a while back, probably a long time now, about subscribing to the periodicals that come out of the state historical right. society. Uh-huh. And so to me, I'm not sure I would like the commission to kind of have a conversation, not today, obviously, but about whether its role is purely, oops, I just lost everybody. Wait a second.
We still hear you. It's fine.
Yeah. So whether we're a lot of the work review board certainly is related to the planning process, which is of course important, but I think there's there's other work that we could be doing and advocating for. And I almost hate to bring this up, but the fact I've still been amazed that the building person can, the building department, I don't know what it is. Somebody can make a decision to demolish a building without going through historic commission. And that really surprises me. So there's kind of, what's that?
I said right on. I couldn't agree more.
So it's like being, maybe it's about being more proactive. But if that's not the will of the group and you're all happy with how things are being done, which I think you're doing a great job as far as it goes, I just think it could be more. And if that's not a popular idea, then I don't know whether I would continue either, because I don't feel very useful when I can't read blueprints. I have to rely on other people. So that's just a thought about looking forward in finding new members too, because Ellen was like me, a person with strong interest in historic preservation, but not a professional person in the industry, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I really feel terrible not being able to see anybody's faces though now. It's bad enough that when we are talking from our little separate spaces. Let me see where if I can get back on. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, the thing is, I've run lots of meetings, and I've been in chair boards, so I could do this, but I think I want to be straightforward and say I would promote more conversation and reflection on what the Historic Commission could be, apart from processing applications.
Yeah, I feel that way too, and that it feels like primarily we're just kind of a rubber stamp on planning. You know, that's our primary function, is to put the stamp of approval on the work that planning has done, what staff have done.
And I agree with you, Beverly. And also, you know, Keith brought up probably a year ago, Keith, when you brought up, you know, what is history, you know, involving some of the indigenous members to, right, you know, be a part of what the history is of Ashland. And, you know, at that point, I think that it didn't really go anywhere because we didn't have meetings for a while. But I think that it's an interesting thought to think about, that it's, you know, there's the technical part of it, you know, as far as how a building looks and all the nomenclature with, you know, that people, tradespeople have and architects have, but then also what is, you know, history at 10,000 feet for Ashland, and, you know, how are we involved in that?
Yeah, I think, I've said enough. Who was going to say something?
I was just going to say that it would be good if we could be, and it's hard with COVID, but it certainly would be good to be involved more on the state level and with other communities. You know,
right. Just to find out what other communities are doing.
And it was back in, I think, 2016, I went to the state conference, and that was such a valuable experience. And I think it's something that we should have the opportunity to do when it's available again. You know, it just seems that we need connection with others, and we need to take a broader view of history. It seems that our purview is so narrow right now.
And even within the valley, you know, the Historic Commission in Medford, Jacksonville, you know, like those people that we can go have coffee with, or we, you know, eventually
and the gather with. I mean, we don't have much at all to do with the Southern Oregon Historical Society, and that seems a shame too. There ought to be a lot of networking that could be going on. And so I think, I mean, has anybody found or anybody to recruit to the commission while we've been out of session? I sure haven't.
I've tried.
Have you? Good for you. Well, Sam, you've been chair of Medford's Historic Society. How did they function relative to this one?
The Medford Historic, I was chair when I moved to Ashland 20 years ago and, of course, had to resign. But the Medford Historic Commission deals with a fraction of the properties that Ashland does.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, my God. You know, they have the South Oakdale. They have the Corning Court Ensemble, Minnesota. And those are about the only residential districts. And then a few in the downtown core. They are much more restrictive than Ashland. If you live on South Oakdale and you want to paint your house, they have say and approval of the colors. Now, the district is a fraction of what we have over here, but it's much, much, much more restrictive.
Okay.
So when I came over here, and of course, I have known George, you know, for 35 years. And when I moved over here, George Kramer said to me, "Oh, you know," because when I left Medford, Lindsay Berryman was mayor. And when I resigned, Lindsay wrote this long letter to me, "And we're so sorry to lose you," and blah, blah, blah. And so at the time, Alan DeBoer was mayor of Ashland. And so I just sent Lindsay's letter to Alan, and the next day was appointed and have been on there ever since, like 19 years, I think. But, you know, most of my like 18 or 19 year tenure, I think Dale has been chair, and I'm not criticizing. I mean, my vote would be to keep Dale as chair, but maybe we can't. But Dale, I mean, you've been chair way more than 3 years.
Right.
And you're probably, you know, the best person to do it because of your knowledge. I could chair the commission. I have been chair of many things, president of the Historical Society. I'm a trustee. I was a board member of the Land Conservancy. I would like to see, because it's been kind of a male-dominated organization, I'd like to see us get our ladies involved. Piper's been on longer than Beverly, and so maybe we should start there. But, you know, just the image, that isn't going to shut Dale or Keith or Bill or I up having, you know,
I don't think it changes.
Oh, I know I can't shut you up, dear. I'm just kidding. But I never try. I'm kidding.
But I think the same skill set. The people will still have the same skill set to bring, no matter who's the officer.
And we're still going to have the people. I am working real hard on recruiting somebody who at this point will remain nameless, but I think would be a really good addition.
Oh, good.
So whoever does it, you have, set 9 months to give it a try, that first term.
So, right.
Everybody don't speak up at once.
Yeah, really.
So Sam has nominated a couple of individuals here. How do you, what's your response, Piper?
I think that I'm learning to say no.
Okay.
These days, because I'm feeling a little overstretched with all of my other committees. And I don't think it would take a lot of time, but it's just one more thing that I'd have to add at the moment, and I don't think I have the time.
Mm-hmm. So I'll just remind, the vice chair, their only real responsibility is if the chair couldn't be there, the vice chair could run the meeting, and in fact, if those two couldn't be there, somebody else would run the meeting.
So, I could do vice chair.
Yeah.
You could do vice chair. Okay.
Well, Sam, do you want to...
He's nominated you, Beverly, as our new chair.
I don't think he did.
Oh yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Well,
how do you feel about that, Beverly?
I think I think that it isn't that difficult because we have a good staff, and it wouldn't take all that much time. I just recently stepped back into being a pastor, very part-time. So hopefully I can manage, but I want to be clear that probably I will put things on the agenda that are considerations outside our usual scope of work, if that's okay, for conversations. And some of that would be about broadening our understanding of history about the kinds of issues, because one of the things I asked Maria to send to you all was that there's two significant courses being offered by Ollie. The one is the adjunct professor. I think his name is Leland. Do you have that? Let me see if I have it.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's true.
And both these, there's two courses, one significant aspects of Southern Oregon history, and it starts in October by Jeff Leland, and he's taught these courses for a long time. He has 40 years experience as an archaeologist, blah blah blah. Anyway, that class is unlimited because it's on Zoom. The cost for a year of courses in Ollie is 150 now for the whole year. The second course that Marie's probably going to, Marie, you said you could probably email it in the next couple of days, right? To people?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So the other one is New Perspectives on Historic Preservation. And it's from being taught by a woman. I've never heard of this historic site, but it's Filoli, F-I-L-O-L-I. Have you ever heard of it, Sam? Because it's in the peninsula.
Yeah, it's a beautiful estate.
Oh, is it?
Down off of 280.
Yes, and so
she's beautiful gardens.
And she's have been on the board, I gather, but she's saying she's going to present how preservation techniques are evolving. So that might be interesting. So those are the kinds of things that I think are worth taking advantage of, for example, and to expand our horizons, I guess, is what I'm saying. Yeah. It doesn't mean we're going to have to listen to lectures in the meeting or anything. I promise.
I'd like to comment on that idea of all the potential programs or different events or history that that we could explore. And based on my many years on the commission, I think it's hard to find time for most people to do that kind of stuff. If you're not self-motivated to do it, to add another level, is difficult for most of us, I think. And there's certainly plenty of opportunities here in Southern Oregon with Southern Oregon Historical Society. They have a lecture every Wednesday, the first of the month, and going on, And again, if you want to follow the state, there's a couple of great state organizations, and So, you know, we did that great, the project that we're still working on is, of course, the medallion project.
Right.
And, you know, somebody, that happened because somebody was willing and had the expertise and background to really pursue that. And that right. took a huge amount of time.
It did. And yeah. and I'm just saying to not every time, but sort of take a broader view mm-hmm. of what we could sponsor. And it doesn't mean we do all the legwork. It means we recruit others who are shared interests, like the people who have the library talks every month on Southern Oregon history. And there's people like that already mm-hmm. doing stuff that we could just, you know, take advantage of and promote.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, Keith, you were the one that talked about the indigenous tribes. Have you thought any more about that? And
I haven't. It comes down to the whole time thing. But yeah. Actually, you know, it's interesting because my daughter is the one that brought that up into my consciousness. And she continues in Albuquerque to pursue an interest in that. And she feeds my wife and I both information about that. I mean, the thing that I think that I talked about possibly, I mean, it was just getting to be able to acknowledge the people that were here first at our meetings. And I mm-hmm. think that the city now does have something like that, though. I've never witnessed it myself yet, but I did print it out and it's on my desk here. And I was really impressed, I must say. What my daughter is working on, and it's a challenge to us all as white people,
yeah,
colonists, actually, to participate in paying a use tax to the local tribes for the use of the lands that we've basically stolen from them. So that's one of the things that she's working on in Albuquerque. And there's a very strong movement there because they've got a very strong indigenous culture there. So, I mean, it's fun for me, and it makes me have to think harder about who I am, where my people come from, and what we've done.
Right.
You know, so how that ties into Ashland Historic Commission, I'm not really sure, but I'll certainly try to do more to find out what my lovely daughter researches and feeds to us, because it's really quite compelling and quite inspiring, you know, to be confronted with this. As you know, in the news today, they took down the big statue of General Lee. You right. know, it's just coming to terms with our history. And well, we come from such a privileged place as white people.
And the woman who works at the Southern Oregon Historic Association, who had that program at Ollie in the spring last year, I think, had, it was amazing how much information there were on Native American history in our region. There's a lot. And I'm not talking about us getting involved in the research, but just working with Terry and learning I think that was part of the project with the medallions. But when we were working on the narratives, Terry, you were talking about the guy, the Chinese person, what was his name?
Hua Chung.
I mean, that guy's got an incredible story of working with the railroad as a laborer. And we know there was a Chinese neighborhood, but it's pretty much not recognized, except I think, is the medallion going to be there for that?
Right. Yeah, we have one for that. Yep.
That's what I was thinking. So that is an example. And so it's not like I'm interested in adding to anybody's workload or my own. It's more like a perspective of taking a look at what other, like Piper said, Jacksonville has a really strong tradition. And I think it would be fun to learn what other groups are doing and what their priorities are. Does anyone else think that's interesting?
I applaud your bringing it up, because I think it's important just to get the conversations going, if nothing else, you know, because it's a challenging time with us all being locked down so much and all of that. But at the same time, to be able to, you know, I've certainly felt in the months of separation from our personal meetings where we can actually be in the same room, you know, such a disconnect.
It really is.
And I think that you're just even bringing this up as a topic of conversation is a healthy move to try to re-energize, because it's just hard to get.
Yeah. Inspired. It's hard to get motivated.
Yeah.
Beverly, do you want to try it for a year and see how it goes?
Well, I would say let's try for the 9 months, and we can reevaluate. Because if we can stick to the calendar, that's probably better to the official code.
Yeah.
Right.
The language.
But I nominate you.
Okay. Well, thank you.
And I would second that.
Well, that's very nice. I hope I can, I've been doing a lot of talking. I hope I can live up to what I just said.
You have 9 months. Try it.
Okay.
Piper, vice chair.
So Piper, it sounds like you'd be willing to do the vice chair for the intern then.
I would.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, great.
And Terry and I are in the third and fourth position that we'll be there if it does not work out in terms of not being able to be there or whatever.
Right.
So we have nominated both a chair and a vice chair. All those in favor of those picks, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, there you go.
Okay.
You go.
In all due respect, I do not want us to lose sight of what our charge is, and that is to preserve historic buildings in Ashland.
Oh, right.
And I mean, that must remain our thrust. And these other things are all well and good, but.
Yeah, but see, one of the things I think we overlook is there's stuff about preserving houses like the demolition I was talking about.
I couldn't agree more.
So that's the kind of stuff that when we're our noses to the ground, you don't lift up and go, wait a minute, how is that happening? And don't you think we should say something about that? That's also policy related. It's more policy related than the evaluation or planning.
Right.
So those are considerations, but no. And you're welcome just to say you're getting way off track anytime you think so.
And I will.
I know you will. So.
Okay.
Okay, I guess we're good to go then. What?
Congratulations.
Yeah.
There you go. Yes. Thank you very much for stepping forward and taking it on.
Okay. Thank you. Well, and thanks, Piper, for joining me.
Thank you.
Great. So, discussion items, debrief of the preservation awards.
You know, we put this on after the May preservation awards, thinking we'd talk about it in June.
Right.
Just to give people a chance. And now I think so much time has passed. I'm not sure if it's totally up to the commission. We just wanted to put it out there kind of as a debrief.
Yeah.
I mean, it was
the letter that was included in our packet that, you know, somebody just really felt honored and. Mm-hmm. That was really nice.
Yes. They were the original owners of the Fairview House, weren't they?
Right.
Yes.
Any other comments? I would say it went as well as it could. It's certainly not the impact, you know, being in person and sharing together, but that's where we're at. The other thing that is probably simplifying our lives also is we don't have a review board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In some ways that I feel a little shorted in that way, because I see projects going on and I'm wondering, how did that get through, or what are they doing there? Or, cause we just don't know, you know? Mm-hmm. So it sounds like we're going to still be in this form for quite some time.
Well, I think the emergency, Councilor Moran probably knows better than myself, but I think it was extended to mid-October via emergency declaration.
I wouldn't be surprised if it goes to the end of the year, actually. That's just my personal view, but until we get on COVID. I mean, there's just been a big increase in the number of cases with city staff, as you probably well know, Mary. So until it's safe to get back in the water, I would think the consensus view is we ease back into it. And I'd just be surprised if it happened before the end of the year, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
I'll have to get a fancier background if I'm going to look as good as Dale does, though.
Yeah. Are you on your phone?
No, I can't find where I had a place to put my iPad, but I don't now. I don't know what happened to it.
Okay, well, you've got some work to do, I think. You can't be bobbing around
Thank
like
you,
that.
Dale.
Yeah, you've got a month to figure it out.
You look like a bobblehead.
He is. Okay, and I'll have to hide the cats or something. But if you get bored, you know, there's always cats to watch. But anyway, yes, I'll try to be more professional. Maria and Reagan, I forgot to ask, is there anything that I have said about broadening perspective that scares you guys to death that would add to your workload? Because that's not my intent.
No. I think it's important to have the discussions. I mean, that's the thing that.
Yeah, that's kind of the idea.
You know, usually, you know, share ideas and thoughts more easily.
Right. And I think I think that helps us build a certain collegiality, because it's a broader conversation. Than whether the, you know, what's the materials that we're talking about on the building, just saying. Mm-hmm. So, and I think it's very good news for us to hear that they are going to be able to expedite the Pioneer and the Community Center buildings, because we were really concerned about that that's been down for already 2 years, hasn't it?
It has, actually. But Pioneer Hall is actually open.
I didn't know that.
The city's kind of backed away from it being closed because, quite honestly, there was no real reason other than 25 pounds of snow per square foot load, whatever, which is one of like 9 feet of snow or something like that. So it has been open. In fact, they just did a blood drive this past weekend. But, you know, next week we'll bring some clarity to it. And I would agree. I think people will be happy to get back in there and use those.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay. Anything else from staff? No. Have we done it all? Okay. Thank you for all being here, and look forward to our new chair and vice chair next month. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Good night.
Take care.
Take care.
Thank you.
Be safe.
Yeah, you too.